So any questions on that? No? Okay. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, okay. See you all tomorrow.
I could have
been faster, but I see him, I would keep him company.
Yes, of course. Of course.
It's not our fault, Maharaj. Circumstances, weather, stars. We're not at fault.
The titties.
Huh?
Titties.
Titties.
You name it.
Are you better, Mark?
Slowly, a little bit.
You have to explain. People don't understand.
They don't know what's going on. They think it's glasses.
No, they're only
tomorrow.
Only Mataji.
However, no one else
Nobody
showed up.
Is trying to.
Oh, so that she figured it out yet?
No, because you said see you all tomorrow.
Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastamavidrishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 21, The Opulence and Sweetness of Lord Shri Krishna. Okay, page 5. Verse 221 to 29. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, all the coward boys had unlimited calves. Similarly, their canes, flutes, lotus flowers, horns, garments, and ornaments were all unlimited. They cannot be limited by writing about them. The coward boys then became four-handed Narayanas, predominating deities of Vaikuntha planets. All the separate Brahmas from different universes began to offer their prayers unto the Lords. All these transcendental bodies emanated from the body of Krishna, and within a second, they all entered again into his body. When the Lord Brahma from this universe saw this pastime, he was astonished and struck with wonder. After offering his prayers, he gave the following conclusion. Lord Brahma said, if someone says that he knows everything about Krishna's opulence, let him think that way. But as far as I am concerned, with my body and mind, I consider it in this way. My Lord, your opulence is like an unlimited ocean of nectar, and it is verbally and mentally impossible for me to realize even a drop of that ocean. There are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think that way. As far as I'm concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. Oh, my Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are all beyond the reach of my mind. Body and words, footnote 4. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14, 38. Let the glories of Lord Krishna be. Who could be aware of all of them? His abode, Vrindavan, has many wonderful opulences. Just try to see them all. According to the revelations of revealed scripture, Vrindavan extends only 16 kroshas, 32 miles. Nonetheless, all the Vaikuntha planets and innumerable universes are located in one corner of this tract. Right, so it appears to be a small place, but the all the Vaikuntha planets and so many other places and all that are all just a corner. Not even that they, you know, everybody's packed in there and, you know, people are pressed against the corner and stuff like that. No, it's just in the corner. Srila Prabhupada. In Vraja, the land is divided into various vanas or forests. The forests total 12, and their extension is estimated to be 84 kroshas. Of these, the special forest known as Vrindavan is located from the present municipal city of Vrindavan to a village called Nandagram. This distance is 16 kroshas, 32 miles. Yes, yeah, so he's just talking about this area, Brahma. He's not even talking about all the 12 forests, the month together. So just that much is unlimited, even though it appears to be just 32 miles. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "No one can estimate the opulence of Krishna. That is unlimited. However, just as one sees the moon through the branches of a tree, I wish to give a little indication." Srila Prabhupada, "First the child is shown the branches of a tree, and then he is shown the moon through the branches. This is called Shaka Chandra Nyaya. The idea is that first one must be given a simpler example, then the more difficult background is explained." 2:21-32. While describing the transcendental opulences of Krishna, the ocean of opulence manifested in the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his mind and senses were immersed in this ocean. Thus he was perplexed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally recited the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and to relish the meaning, he began to explain it himself. Verses 33-98, elaboration on Trayadisha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the master of the three worlds and the three principal demigods, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. No one is equal or greater than him. By his spiritual potency, known as Swaraja Lakshmi, all his desires are fulfilled. While offering their duties and presence in worship, the predominating deities of all the planets touch the lotus feet of the Lord with their helmets. Thus they offer prayers to the Lord." Srila Prabhupada, this verse this quotation is verse 21 of the second chapter, third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Riti. In the word-for-word translation of the above-quoted shloka, Srila Prabhupada gives the following four meanings for Tri-Adisha. Tri-Adisha. A. The master of three places, namely Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha Loka, and the material world. Or B, the master of Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Kiradakshaya Vishnu. Or C, the master of Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar. Or D, the master of the three worlds, higher, middle, and lower and middle planetary systems. The meaning of Trayadishashwara is further elaborated upon in the preceding verses as general. The master of Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, verses 36-37. Middle, the master of Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Kiradakshaya Vishnu, verses 38-41. Confidential, the master of three places, namely Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, and the material world, verses 42-89. And very deep, Gokula, Goloka, Mathura, and Dwarka, verses 90-94. Right, so it has so many. So you have Tri Adisha, right? But if there's Sunday and you put it together, then you get Tri-Adisha. So make sense?
The Lord of the three.
Yes. It just means he's the Adi Ishwara of these three. So you're taking it within the material world, the three planetary systems, or Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, or then if you go bigger, then you have Kiradakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Karanadakshaya Vishnu, you get bigger than that. Then it will be the whole material manifestation, the Vaikuntha, and then Goloka, and then higher than that will be within Goloka, then Mathura, Dwarka, and Vrindavan. Like that. In any case, so that's why also sometimes probably say he's the Lord of Threes.
Yes.
Means all these different things. So that's why, that's the meaning that's given here.
That includes also things about your nature, and
everything's in threes because he's Satchitananda.
Yes.
Therefore everything comes out of that,
right.
And it'll be always in threes. You know, we like to say it's this or that, but no, there's three. 2:21, 34-39. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Okay. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is the greatest of all. No one is equal to him, nor is anyone greater than him. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Footnote 5. This is the first verse of the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. The primary predominating deities of this material creation are Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. Nonetheless, they simply carry out the orders of Lord Krishna, who is master of them all. Lord Brahma said, following the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I create, Lord Shiva destroys, and he himself, in the form of Kiradakshai Vishnu, maintains all the affairs of material nature. Thus, the supreme controller of the three modes of material nature is Lord Vishnu. Footnote 6. This quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2:632 is spoken by Lord Brahma to Narada Muni. This is only a general description. Please try to understand another meaning of Triadisha. The three Purusha incarnations of Vishnu are the original cause of the material creation. Mahavishnu, Padmanabha, and Kshiradakshai Vishnu are the super souls of all subtle and gross existences. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Mahavishnu is known as Karanadakshai Vishnu, the super soul of everything. Garbhadakshai Vishnu, from whose lotus navel Brahma was created, is also called Hiranyagarbha and is the total super soul and subtle super soul. Kiradakshai Vishnu is the universal form and the gross super soul. I guess, the universal form, because that's everything comes out of that. So because Kiradakshai enters everything, and everybody has their forms and all that, based on the original aspects, so then he would be then that aspect of the universal form. Does that make sense? No? It means everybody has a body. So that body is taken from, you know, ear from this, nose from this, like that, you know. You know, like Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, you know, you have them and you put different things on and get different. No? Yeah, so that means it's taking from the universal form. So that he's the lord of that aspect.
But the universal form originated from Garbhadakshai, is that right?
That's there. You have here is the total super soul and the subtle super soul. So then all the, in other words, the you could say the, I guess you could say is like, that would be the cause aspect, and then Kiradakshai Vishnu is the one who then operates, so then everybody gets. Yeah, like that. But at the same time is then you're doing that, and that goes back to, because it goes back to Mahavishnu, because you have that original avyakta aspect. Yeah. Then the avyakta then in the universe. When that, and then when it becomes applied, then that'll be Kiradaksha. Mm-hmm. You know, so the it means to the individuals what they get, who gets where, why it comes like that.
So Padmanabha in this particular context is Garbhadakshai.
Yes, Garbhadakshai. He's Padmanabha. Because he mentions there, he says Mahavishnu, Padmanabha, and Kiradaksha. So Padmanabha, because, you know, from the lotus then he came, like Prabhupada had mentioned there. From the lotus navel, Brahma was created. So he's referring to that aspect as Padmanabha. Mm-hmm. 2:21, 40-42. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, although Mahavishnu, Padmanabha, and Kiradakshai Vishnu are all shelters and controllers of the same universe, they are nonetheless but plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of Krishna. Therefore, he is the original personality of Godhead. The Brahmas and other lords of the mundane world appear from the pores of Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his one exhalation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom Mahavishnu is a portion of a plenary portion. Footnote 7. This is a quotation from the Brahma Samhita 548. This is the middle meaning. Now please hear the confidential meaning, right? Because he said the first meeting was, you know, about the three worlds or Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Mm-hmm. Then you're just dealing with the material universe itself, right? Then you get more, the middle meaning, then you mean it's going more than that. So it keeps going up. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna has three abodes. His internal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, his immediate, intermediate abode, the spiritual sky, and his external abode, this material world. So now we dealt with that, the material aspect. Sri Chaitanya 2:21-43-53. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The internal abode, Antapura, is called Goloka Vrindavan. It is there that Lord Krishna's personal friends, associates, father and mother live. Vrindavan is the storehouse of Krishna's mercy and the sweet opulences of conjugal love. That is where the spiritual energy, working as a maidservant, exhibits the rasa dance, the quintessence of all pastimes. Vrindavan Dham is very soft due to the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and it is especially opulent due to conjugal love. Because here is that opulence then means is connected with his internal potency. Right? And so then this form of his pastimes in Vrindavan with the internal potency, then that will bring out the greatest sweetness and all that. So that's the whole point, is that, because one could say is no, but Paramatma, he's the Lord of all energies, so the energies are opulence. Right? So that aspect is there. But then you see what the distinction is that sweetness is there, that Krishna interacting, and that personal aspect, rather than just the controller. Because you're controlling the impersonal aspect. You may have personal elements there, but when you're creating the material world, and like I said, the universal form and all these things, these are all impersonal. Right? Because the universal form is impersonal in that it's Krishna, but it's impersonal in that it's like a storehouse.
Until there is an interaction.
Yeah, it means let's say, like you have a big warehouse, and it's got so much stuff in it. And whatever you need, then you can take out of that and then make something with it. Does that make sense? So this is the whole thing we need to get used to, is that this concept, the impersonal means that. Yes. This idea of just nothingness, avoidness, that's not impersonal. That just doesn't exist. That's stupid. You know, but we're conditioned to think, no, this is impersonal. No, that's not impersonal. That just doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it just means that it's generic. Mm-hmm. Right? Then it has that aspect of then, you know, going to think then he enters everything and then controls all the living entities, directs all the living entities, gives them the results of their efforts. Mm-hmm. Like that. That's all going on. So that's the aspect that he's dealing with all his opulences. Mm-hmm. But dealing at the personal aspect of the opulences. And that's then Bhagavan. Does that make sense? So that you have existence of something and the mechanics of it, that doesn't bring out the taste. Right? Does that make sense? So it's when you add in the Hladini potency, that's when you have the taste. You know, and so even in the material world, Hladini, then its effect on the material nature, then it gives the happiness that what we call here. Does that make sense? So mechanical, because otherwise you can do something, and if there's no happiness, we'll say, oh, this is mechanical. At the same time, you're saying, oh, without the mechanics and all that, it's all about that. But at the same time, if there's no taste, it won't bring any interest. But because from the existence and operation of things, then that's where taste can be had. Therefore, we put the emphasis on that. Mm-hmm. Right? So, let us say we know that eating gives taste. Right? Because that's inherent. So, we go to this big, huge buffet of hundreds of varieties of food, and we, you know, picks up something that looks interesting. We taste it, there's no taste. So we'll go back and get something else and try to find some taste. Something to give a little bit of taste, something more taste. Does that make sense? And then because that's all there is this very minimal or no taste, then within that, then we'll say, oh yeah, this one's good, because it, you know, there was at least a little something. And it's all of these are useless. Does that make sense? So taste is the whole point that comes there. So that point of taste of Krishna interacting with his potencies, that's then the confidential aspect. That's Bhagavan. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Because mm-hmm. just him controlling everything, yes, he is controlling everything. But the point is it's unless that control is bringing out that pleasure, that transcendental pleasure, then it's not that special. Mm-hmm. It means he's God, so he does all these things. So of course, as God, that's what he does. That's what, you know, that's the, how you say, the definition. Mm-hmm. You know. But the real taste is in Bhagavan. Does that make sense? Yes. So there's that slight difference there. Because otherwise, then he's there. He's the Lord of everything. But when his internal potency expands, then he becomes more beautiful. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada makes that point. Yeah? No?
When you mentioned that there's no such a thing as emptiness, everything is there, it's just not active. So it's impersonal. So how do we understand the term sunyavada in that context?
It means it's another, what do you call it, made-up concept. This is like, we're going to be happy eternally here in the material world. That doesn't exist. It's a made-up concept. Or I'm going to be liberated, and I'm going to be God, or I'm going to be eternally happy. It's made up. It means it's created by the material nature, that concept. But the actual fact, no, it doesn't exist.
It's wishful thinking.
It's wishful thinking, yes, exactly. So that, and just so the shunyavad comes just when you get so angry that you're getting nothing out of the whole thing. So then it's just, get rid of it all. Like you're doing something and you're trying to make it work and it's not working, and when it gets totally frustrated, you know, then you might, you know, smash it or throw it or do something stupid. Yeah, you know, yeah. You just want to end everything because it's not. That's what shunyavad is. It's just an expression of extreme frustration. And so then you've just made a philosophy out of extreme frustration. Like we're, you know, I mentioned this morning, where you can make a philosophy out of attachment to your particular material identities, your upadis. You know, and so then that's, you get, like you have clubs and all that. Mm-hmm. And they're based on a particular upadhi, you know, like, you know, okay, this is the football club, or this is the skiing club, or this is the, you know, this auto club, or, you know, things like that. Is that you know, you have things that's based on an upadhi. And so then they're going to have their whole thing, you know, being good, being nice, being considerate, you know, like this. You know, they get together and they have all these slogans and all these things like that. So they'll put something together around it, but it's just their particular identity and attachment. But the point is that these are all temporary designations. But the idea that you'll be happy in the material world, or in liberation, or in nothingness, these don't exist. You know, people say it does. But in reality, no? Yeah, so that's that. Yeah? You okay?
It's not easy because a few days ago, one student, she came to me and she said, you know, I raised my kids in Krishna consciousness, but now I try to explain what is actually Krishna consciousness. And they say, yeah, it's just a concept. So speaking about concept, everything is a concept. Materialism is a concept. You know, Panchupasana is a concept, Buddhism is a concept, everything is concept. So basically, it's relative within the limits of the material world.
Yes.
But then, you know, discussing concept, one concept against another, you have to be on a different level of consciousness to understand higher concept. Otherwise, we keep it like you say, be good, be kind, you know, they slap you on one side, put the other one, and just like that.
How old are the kids?
20 plus, 20 something.
Wouldn't you start explaining this a little bit earlier?
So earlier, they didn't have the challenging attitude. Right.
But that's when you teach them. See, there's an illusion that as long as everything's fun and nice and, you know, can get the full taste out of with the kids and the interaction, let that run. Then when there's a problem and you can't get that taste, now let's, you know, sit down and, you know, talk about spiritual. What to do? But they got to 20. That's pretty good. Most only get to about 11. You know, and then the trouble starts. So they got to 20, then they're doing really good. They should be happy.
You mean at 11 they start questioning and doubting everything?
Yeah, anything that you do and this and that. Why are we doing this? Why do we have to go? Yeah, so you know, that's pretty good, got to 11. But the point is you're supposed to be doing that. That's what the Prabhupada talks about, is this spiritual acumen is already made part of the consciousness of the child at the Garbhodhan Samskar. And then you develop it from there. That's the whole. Because otherwise, why would you wait to 20? You know, do they know how to dress or comb their hair or, you know, what socks go with what shirt and stuff like that? Why would they know that? Why didn't you start telling them all that now? Why not just let them do whatever they like? You know? You know what I'm saying? You know, when they turn into those purple minions, you know, with the tongue hanging out and everything, then start to, you can't put like, no, you got to keep your tongue in. You know, it doesn't look good. So, what to do? They'll say it's a concept because to them it's only a concept. But the point is there's concepts and there's facts. So the point is that since Krishna has created everything, there's facts. That's what the Shastra describes as the facts. And then, so it's not a matter of opinion. Then within that, people can take the facts and make up their own concepts from that. You came to collect 4 bottles of half-filled water.
Maharaj, I came to collect 4 half-empty bottles.
But those have water in it, so they're not empty.
And find Vedanta Maharaj to find others.
They're empty ones. Who are the empty ones for?
They're for some oil pretty nice ones in the water.
Aha. Uh-huh. Where did you find these?
In the Vaishya room, Maharaj.
Yeah, but there should be boxes of just empty ones, no?
I've been looking for them.
Because the ones that have water in them, those don't take those.
Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, Vedanta's here somewhere?
Somewhere. You can check under the rocks or something.
Yes, ma'am.
He's a concept. He's a concept,
yes. Exactly. Sermon is a concept.
From what I can understand from my analyzation, he might be in the more unmanifest state.
Yeah.
I've been trying to contact him for the past 1.5 hours. He's not picking up.
Okay, you go down the path.
Yes, ma'am.
And then you get to the end of the path, you'll see a little house.
Yes, ma'am.
Then next to the house, you'll see some bricks kind of going a little bit.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not a road, but you can walk down then till you get to the last window.
Yes, ma'am.
Only a small window.
Yes, ma'am.
If that window's open, when you get there, then make yourself known.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, so then it's just a matter, well, you say this, I say that, yeah, but that's, that there's, but nothing. It's not that it's equal. They're looking at it, well, what I say and what you say is equal, but that doesn't work like that. You know, the engineer says it's like this, and anybody else will say, no, but I think it's like this. Who cares? So the point is, you have to have that conviction. You know what I'm saying? That's why we have the process. That's why it's here. So it's not magic that just by being here that it all... Yes, it means by being... If you're always in that good association, you're always in these kind of things, then you'll see so much magic happens. But if you just come here because rents are, you know, 10 times... Everything's 10 times cheaper than living somewhere else and that, and you just go on, and because it's the Dom, there's less disturbance, so therefore you're enjoying life, then at some point, then the modes of nature make things that, you know, then... You know, the end of the line comes. That's just the way it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then they have, in other words, what they should have been doing for the last 20 years, I mean, literally, they have to then try to catch up. You know? But, you know, it's a good place, there's good association, good opportunities, so, you know. Better than other places. No?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is that what's fact, you can't call a concept. It's real. We may be explaining it. There's tattva, you can explain what's going on, technically what's there. You know? And then when you're dealing with things, there's that aspect of the concept of how you can approach it, how you can apply it in your life. You still have to apply it. Because that's the whole thing. There's no theory. Mm-hmm. Theory, I mean, the Veda concept of theory means facts that you've learned about, what they're for, how they apply, but you still have to apply them. So in other words, sambandha gyan, you could say that's the Veda concept of theoretical. But it doesn't mean that it's... Because in the modern you say, oh, it's theoretical, means it's not practically applied. The Vedic is, it's all practically applicable. Just until you apply it yourself in your life, then, of course, you're not going to get any benefit. You know, it's like I say, you eat this, you'll get a taste out of it. But, that's just theory and this and that and... You know, and so many things, you can do this and eat this and that. And no, you eat this, then you get that taste. You know, you eat this strawberry, you get a strawberry flavor. No, but you can be saved that about anything. You know, why just the strawberries? You know, the bricks are also red and that. His sweater's red. You know, anything like that we could do. And so then we could get the strawberry flavor, you know. But you know what I'm saying? But that's the point, is that that's an opinion. The Vedic, that's the thing. There's no opinions. It's just this is what the facts are. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting that whoever leaves Krishna consciousness, whoever has left Krishna consciousness, they don't leave because they doubt philosophy. They leave because of weakness.
Yes, it's attachments.
They never hear a philosophy for
like that. They may say a few things, but that's only to make it so it doesn't look, they don't look, because they don't look foolish. Mm-hmm. No one wants to look foolish. So if they can point out a reason for leaving, that, you know, supports some issue or things like that, then they can say, oh, you know, people are badly behaved. And so, in the material world, they're all saints or what? You know, what are you talking about? So it's just like you said, it's weakness. Because Prabhupada, I think, was telling one devotee, very few devotees have left. And in those days, I remember our temple would go from 15 devotees to 30 devotees or so, and back to 15 over 3 months period. You know, constantly. It's like, you know, so hundreds come, hundreds go. The devotee said, no, Prabhupada, so many have left. No, not so many. No, Prabhupada, that's what I said. And then Prabhupada said, very few have taken up meeting. So Prabhupada considered, if They left and went back to meat eating. That then they've left. Yes. Otherwise, then, you know, Krishna consciousness is still there. It still has that point. They can't completely forget. And then, you know, 10 years later, you'll see them, you know, how you say, like a one of the moons of Saturn, you know, come by, make a swing by, you know.
You're going Harinam, they're on the street.
Yeah, yeah, you see him like that. Hard nuts, 20 years, you know, like that. But generally 10 years, and they swing back around. You know, like what they call asteroid. They're the ones that, you know, kind of do the thing. And so then many, you know, get involved. But, yeah, it's that weakness of heart. Yeah, but it can be that that comes up because of offenses. One has to be careful of that. If there's too much offenses, then one can be covered, and so then one thinks one's going out, one's very intelligent, one's this and that. And so one has to be very careful. Yeah. Where was 7? Oh, it's up there. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will continue. The internal abode, Antapura, is called Goloka Vrindavan. It is there that Lord Krishna's personal friends, associates, father and mother live. Vrindavan is the storehouse of Krishna's mercy and the sweet opulences of conjugal love. That is where the spiritual energy, working as a maidservant, exhibits the rasa dance, the quintessence of all pastimes. Vrindavan Dham is very soft due to the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and is especially opulent due to conjugal love. The transcendental glories of the son of Maharaj Nanda are exhibited here. Under the circumstances, not the least anxiety is awakened within us. End quote. This is a quotation from the Brahma Samhita 5.43. Below the Vrindavan planet is the spiritual sky, which is known as Vishnu Loka. In Vishnu Loka, there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets controlled by Narayan and innumerable other expansions of Krishna. The spiritual sky, Madhyama Avasa, which is full in all 6 opulences, is the intermediate resident of Lord Krishna. It is there that an unlimited number of forms of Krishna enjoy their pastimes. Innumerable Vaikuntha planets, which are just like different rooms of a treasure house, are all there, filled with all opulences. Those unlimited planets house the Lord's eternal associates, who are also enriched with the 6 opulences. Quote, below the planet named Goloka Vrindavan are the planets known as Devidham, Maheshdham, and Haridham. These are opulent in different ways. They are managed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the original Lord. I offer my obeisances unto him. Footnote 8. Didn't we just read that?
No.
I thought we just had another one.
Yeah, there was another one.
Yeah, but the, up farther, 7 was up. But didn't we just have one here? No, okay. This is a quotation from Brahma Samhita 5.43. Between the spiritual and the material world is a body of water known as the river Viraja. This water is generated from the bodily perspiration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Vedanga.
Yeah. This Vairaja, this is between material and spiritual world. And what is,
but it's also on the outside of each universe.
On that side or this?
It means it'll be situated within the one quarter.
So on that side of.
Means you have to cross that one quarter to get beyond. See, the point is time and space will be within the universe.
And Vairaja is out. But Mahakalapura is also out.
Yes, but it's not within the spiritual. It's not within Haridham. It's still within the Mahatattva.
Vairaja is out?
Viraja is there. That's what Mahavishnu sleeps on, Viraja.
And he's in Mahakalapura also.
Yeah. What's the?
That's what I was asked. Which side is Mahakala?
Yeah, it's right there in the purport of 40, on the verse 43. It's explained there, Sadashiva Loka and Mahakala Pura. But what you explain is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's inside the one quarter.
It's in the. So you have to cross that to get out. But it doesn't mean within. You don't have the Devi Dham, Shiva Dham, and then the Lord's there, so then he's doing. Where he is, he's the other side of that, but who's going there? Like you said, Mahakalapura, who's hanging out with Mahavishnu? Right? And when we saw Krishna and Arjuna went there, then the Lord was there with his associates, and that same with Kiradakshaya Vishnu. So when we say Paramatma, he sits in the heart. But that feature is he's localized. But when he's in Swetadweep, there he's with all his associates and that, so he's Bhagavan. But as he expands into the heart of everything, then that feature is Paramatma. So there the Paramatma is like, so it just depends on which feature of him you're dealing with. If you're dealing with Paramatma, you're this side. If you're dealing with Bhagavan, you're that side. Does that make sense? So that's why the devotees can be here and not be here. That's why you can be in the holy dham and you're not here. You know, one's actually there. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that we're always wanting to get out an almanac and be able to figure out exactly where, you know, what's the latitude and longitude and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, can you look it up on Google Maps?
things floating.
Yeah, these things, that, then the little thing, and then you scroll in and go, so that, then finally it's, you are here. So that's the difficulty, is that we, if we can catch that flavor of what's there, then it works nicely. When if you use the spiritual intelligence, it's more easy to catch. But when the demand is there that no, it has to match with my material intelligence, then it just won't be understood. They'll say, "Oh, it doesn't make sense." Yeah, because you're using the wrong tool. You know. Like that, you know, I get out that, you know, that little gun that, you know, shoots the laser and you tell how hot things are, like that, you know, and I'm trying to sell, you know, so, you know, what flavor is this, you know, like that, hey, why it's not working, you know, like that, and you're using the wrong tool. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or you use that and you're trying to fix the nut on your bicycle or something like that, you know it's not going to work. So that's the problem, is there's this great, it means we've been trained in this faith that the by use of intelligence, everything can be understood. Because, you know, we're being trained by the, you know, academics and scientists that this is the whole premise of their existence. Otherwise, if you're saying, you know, you're analyzing all these things, but actually you're not understanding anything, then you know, what would be their position? But, you know, people don't tolerate that. So they have to, let's say that what they're thinking, this is the real thing. If you're thinking anything else, then that's something. That's why they say anything other than their opinion is subjective, even though their opinion is totally subjective. So then we're trained or conditioned in that way of thinking. It's done by the modes, of course, but we can see is that especially those from these more scientific cultures that is more about science, like that, you know, so you're going to see is, you know, you're famous for that, the tech, high technology and all that. So you see Russia gets into that a lot, America gets into that a lot, a lot of other countries, they do quite a bit, but these two are just like an identity, you know. And so then, you know, we're this, we're technologically advanced, while others is like, You know, hey, say, like, you know, French, we're French, but we also do technology quite well. But it's not the whole identity, but especially these two countries, that is the identity. And so you're going to get the most hard pushing generally from those from these educational backgrounds. You know, because it's just, if it doesn't fit, it's not scientific. And the point of this is, you know, but that whole point is that if the material world was so great, why are we here? And so then it's being explained what's going on here. Why the things aren't seen properly. You know, because we saw... Winter's over.
Bears are out.
The bears are out. Okay, winter's over. Like that. I heard you have to eat a lot of leaves and fruit and stuff like that, and that'll get rid of your grumpiness and all that. Yeah. Someone was telling me the other day, you know how bears, when they wake up, they're really grumpy and nasty?
Oh, yeah.
That's because they haven't gone to the toilet for 6 months.
Yeah. Actually, it's science.
It's science.
When in Siberia, if you meet a bear like that, who woke up, you know, before the time or something happened, you know, whatever, you can't escape. The guy is like really, really.
So I take it that when you're saying in the this is scientific, means we lost a lot of scientists in the research of this topic.
Because they swim, they run, they climb trees, you can't escape.
No, but what if you, while you're out there, had a big, huge, like obvious monster basket of, you know, all, you know, like salad and fruits and stuff like that. You know, then
they might distract.
Yeah, they might distract. They might think, okay, cool, and then, you know.
A bucket of honey or something.
Yeah, yeah. Then they'll be happy. Ask them if they want some balsamic on it. Says here, right here, between the spirit, because it's right after where we stop. Between the spiritual and material world is a body of water known as the river Viraja. Right? So it's what's between the two, but at the same time, then the Mahavishnu is sitting on it, it's what's on the outside of the universes. You know, so it has all these different features. Because it's spiritual, it can do all kinds of stuff. No? This water is generated from the bodily perspiration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is known as Vedanga. Thus the river flows. Footnote 9. This verse and the following verses are from the Padma Purana. Quote, beyond the river Viraja is the spiritual nature, which is indestructible, eternal, and inexhaustible and unlimited. It is a supreme abode consisting of three-fourths of the Lord's opulences. It is known as Paravyoma, the spiritual sky. End quote. On the other side of the river Viraja is the eternal abode, Bahya Avasa, which is full of unlimited universes, each containing unlimited atmospheres. The abode of the external energy is called Devidam, and its inhabitants are the conditioned souls. It is there that the material energy, Durga, resides with many opulent maidservants. So you have the Viraja. When you cross that, you come into the material world. Then you have Durga and all her opulent maidservants, and they take care of everything. Srila Prabhupada. Because he wants to enjoy material energy, the conditioned soul is allowed to reside in Devi Dham, the external energy, where Goddess Durga carries out the orders of the Supreme Lord as his maidservant. The material energy is called Jagal Lakshmi, because she protects the bewildered conditioned souls. Goddess Durga is therefore known as the maternal mother, and Lord Shiva, her husband, is known as the material father. Okay, material mother, material father. Goddess Durga is so named because this material world is like a big fort where the conditioned soul is placed under her care. For material facilities, the conditioned soul tries to please Goddess Durga, and Mother Durga supplies all kinds of material facilities. Because of this, the conditioned souls are allured and do not wish to leave the external energy. Consequently, they are continuously making plans to live here peacefully and happily, such as the material world. 2:21:54. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Krishna is the supreme proprietor of all dhammas, including Golok Dhamma, Vaikuntha Dhamma, and Devi Dhamma. The Paravyoma and Goloka Dhamma are beyond Devi Dhamma, this material world. Srila Prabhupada. When a living entity is liberated from Devi Dham, but does not know of the opulence of Hari Dham, he is placed in Mahesh Dham, which is between the two other Dhammas. The liberated soul does not get an opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. Therefore, although this Mahesh Dham is Lord Shiva's Dhamma, and above Devi Dham, it is not the spiritual world. The spiritual world begins with Hari Dhamma, or Vaikuntha Loka. So that means also, then Mahesh Dham is also this side of the Viraja, on the material side.
Yes.
Like that.
That map, whoever made that map, you know, the big poster?
Right.
They got Mahesh Dham already within Paravyoma. Already within the spiritual.
Yeah, but it's on this side, but at the same time, because they're liberated. But it's not. It may be him and his personal associates. They're in the Brahma Jyoti, but the point is Brahma Jyoti is everywhere. Because, see, as the difficulty comes, is you have a definition, and that, because the point is the Brahma Jyoti spreads everywhere. So if you remember that, then that means it's also in the material world. So they may be staying in that Brahma Jyoti and taking advantage of the spiritual aspects, like it's said here. But the point is this, he says, there's not a service to the Lord, and so they don't go beyond. Right? Because Paravyoma means then they understand Vishnu's position and their relationship with him. But here, Haridham means they're not in the material, they're not in under within the universe, but they're not out of the material, you know, without, out of the ekapada, you know. Does that make sense? So that's the neutral state. They're in between. So when they want to move forward, then that's another thing. But until that happens, then they will come back into this, you know. He'll have his eternal associates. But that's their place. So they're unaffected by the material. So, yeah.
When a living entity he leaves his body, being Krishna conscious, he goes to the spiritual world and he sees the Mahesh Dham.
Yeah, you can see.
You
can see it. You get a full tour.
In Vrijasa, they said that when Bodhkumar was going to Vaikuntha,
right,
the Indra and Shiva. Also on his planet, and Indra on his planet, they were offering obeisances, offering flowers, and he visited Shiva just on the way, and Hari
went up. Kept going, yeah. Because you don't want to get off the airplane. If you do, then they'll leave you there, and then you have to catch the next flight.
But that was the Vaikuntha Buddha airplane, so he wouldn't leave. That was the previous one he could leave, this one he didn't.
Yeah, because you're more serious. Yeah, because you can get ones within to take you to the planets within here, you know, if you're qualified. But the point is going back to Godhead, you can see all these things. If there's an interest, then you'll see more. If there's no interest, then you move on. Does that make sense? You know, systematic. You know, it's like when you're going. If the commercial is good, you might be watching for a bit, and then at some point you push the button. No? Yeah? Yeah, so it's just, because the point is it's just, you went, just even like as Gopu Kumar is going, he's being offered, does he want to stay there in Pradhan element, with, you know, and help with the worship of Mohini? Mm-hmm. Like that. He says, no, he's good. So he kept going. So there's always that aspect, you can see. You know, but for the devotee, they're so absorbed in Krishna that there's no interest, though. I mean, they'll see is this how Krishna's opulence and how wonderful Krishna's arranging things. But the interest is in serving Krishna. So this will just remind them of Krishna, therefore they keep going. But if you stop and go, wow, that's cool, you know, then they'll let you off.
It's also an interesting phenomenon how we become conditioned by visuals. Mm. How we become liberated by hearing.
Mm.
Because, you know, all the interest in matter is through visuals.
Yes.
But by hearing the Shastra, then we go in.
We wake up. Yes, yes. Well, Prabhupada mentions that you wake up a sleeping person through sound. Yeah, because the point is this, the form, then from form comes activity, and from activity then we think we'll get happiness from that. That's why you put so much emphasis on the jnana and kriya aspects. You know, expecting that automatically there'll be ananda. But then when we look at Krishna, we'll look at those aspects also, which is fine. But one has to understand the ananda means it's his ananda. So then it takes on a different flavor. If the emphasis is on the jnana and kriya aspects, that's the majesty. But if it's on sweetness, that'll be on Krishna's pleasure. You know, his personal pleasure. So that makes sense. Mm-hmm. 2:21, 55 to 58. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "The spiritual world is considered to be three-fourths of the energy and opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas this material world is only one-fourth of that energy. That is our understanding." Quote, "Because it consists of three-fourths of the Lord's energy, the spiritual world is called Tripada Bhuta. Being a manifestation of one-fourth of the Lord's energy, the material world is called Ekapada." Footnote 10. This verse is found in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita 1.5.563. So far out, Lord Chaitanya is saying all these things. And then those points, then the acharyas, then they work them into their books. So, the three-fourths part of the Lord Krishna's energy is beyond our speaking power. Let us therefore hear elaborately about the remaining one-fourth of his energy. Actually, it is very difficult to ascertain the number of universes. Every universe has its separate Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who are known as permanent governors. Therefore, there is also no counting them. Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are called Chira Lokapala, permanent governors. This means that they govern the affairs of the universe from the beginning of the creation to the end. In the next creation, the same living entities may not be present, but because Brahma and Shiva are existing from the beginning to the end, they call Chira Lokapala, permanent governors. Right? It means as long as that universe is manifest, they're there. But in the next time Lord breathes out, it may not be the same. Yeah. Lokapala. See, these are Chira Lokapala. Then you have Lokapala, means predominating deities. There are eight predominating deities of the prominent heavenly planets. They are Indra, Agni, Yama, Varuna, Niriti, Vayu, Kuvera, and Shiva. Right. So that aspect, then that may be changing. Right? So here is Shiva is one of the Lokapalas, but he's, you know, Chira. They call it also somebody here Chiranjiva, like that. And so someone's Chiranjiva means they live for the lifetime of Brahma. So they're permanent. Everybody else, because we see they change 14 times in a day of Brahma. Like we said, there's half a million of them in a lifetime of Brahma. But during that time, there's only one Brahma and one Shiva. So. 2:21, 59 to 60. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Once when Krishna was ruling Dwarka, Lord Brahma came to see him, and the doorman immediately informed Lord Krishna of Brahma's arrival. When Krishna was so informed, he immediately asked the doorman, which Brahma, what is his name? The doorman therefore returned and questioned Lord Brahma." Srila Prabhupada. "From this verse we can understand that Brahma is the name of the post, and that the person occupying the post has a particular name also. From the Bhagavad Gita, Imam Vivasvate Yogam, Bhagavad Gita 4.1, Vivasvan is the name of the present predominating deity of the sun. He is generally called Surya, the sun god, but he also has his own particular name. The governor of the state is generally called Rajapala, but he also has his own individual name. Since there are hundreds and thousands of Brahmas with different names, Krishna wanted to know which of them had come to see him.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's interesting how they call the Indian Brahmin Mukasama. Mm. The bowl from the Vedic, you know, from
the Pali. Mm. Yes, yes. Yes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, when the Doraman asked, which Brahma, Lord Brahma was surprised. He told the Doraman, please go inform Lord Krishna that I am the four-headed Brahma who is the father of the four Kumaras. The Doraman then informed Lord Krishna of Lord Brahma's description. Lord Krishna gave him permission to enter. The Doraman escorted Lord Brahma in, and as soon as Brahma saw Lord Krishna, he offered obeisances at his lotus feet. After being worshipped by Lord Brahma, Lord Krishna also honored him with suitable words. Then Lord Krishna asked him, why have you come here? Being questioned, Lord Brahma immediately replied, later I shall tell you why I have come. First of all, there is a doubt in my mind which I wish you would kindly dissipate. Why did you inquire which Brahma had come to see you? What is the purpose of such an inquiry? Is there any other Brahmas besides me within this universe? Upon hearing this, Sri Krishna smiled and immediately meditated. Unlimited Brahmas arrived instantly. These Brahmas had different numbers of heads. Some had 10 heads, some had 20, some 100, some 1,000, some 10,000, some 100,000, some 10 million, and others 100 million. No one can count the number of faces they had. There also arrived many Lord Shivas with various heads, numbering 100,000 and 10 million. Many Indras also arrived, and they had hundreds of thousands of eyes all over their bodies. Right, ours only has 1,000, right? So, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's ones with hundreds of thousands. Come on. Srila Prabhupada, it is said that Indra, the king of heaven, is very lusty. Once he had sexual intercourse with the wife of a great sage, and when the sage learned about this, he cursed lusty Indra with a curse that put vaginas all over his body. Being very much ashamed, Indra fell down at the lotus feet of the great sage and begged his pardon. Being compassionate, the sage turned the vaginas into eyes. Therefore, Indra possesses hundreds and thousands of eyes all over his body. Just as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva have many faces, the king of heaven, Indra, has many eyes. 2:21, 69-79. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, when the four-headed Brahma of this universe saw all these opulences of Krishna, he became very much bewildered and considered himself a rabbit among many elephants. All the Brahmas who came to see Krishna offered their respects at his lotus feet, and when they did this, their helmets touched his lotus feet. No one can estimate the inconceivable potency of Krishna. All the Brahmas who were there were resting in the one body of Krishna. Then all the helmets struck together at Krishna's lotus feet. There was a tumultuous sound. It appeared that the helmets themselves were offering prayers unto Krishna's lotus feet. With folded hands, all the Brahmas and Shivas began to offer prayers unto Lord Krishna, saying, O Lord, you have shown me a great favor. I have been able to see your lotus feet. All of them then said, it is my great fortune, Lord, that you have called me, thinking of me as your servant. Now let me know what your order is so that I may carry it on my heads. Lord Krishna replied, since I wanted to see all of you together, I have called all of you here. All of you should be happy. Is there any fear from the demons? They replied, by your mercy, we are victorious everywhere. Whatever burden was upon the earth, you have taken away by descending to that planet. End quote. This is the proof of Dwarka's opulence. All the Brahmas thought, quote, Krishna is now staying in my jurisdiction. End quote. Thus, the opulence of Dwarka was perceived by each and every one of them. Although they were all assembled together, no one could see anyone but himself. So only our Brahma was able to see them all because he had the question. But each other Brahma thought he alone was coming, and each one of them was coming and offering obeisances. You know, so all this was going on at once. Like that. So all the unlimited like this. And they're all within Krishna's body. So that's the point is, what was made before as Vrindavan, it looks, it's just that 32 miles. But actually, it's unlimited. Just like Dwarka is 10 miles. It's even smaller. But it's unlimited. Srila Prabhupada. The four-headed Brahma perceived the opulence of Dwarka Dham, where Krishna was staying, and although there were Brahmas present having 10 to 10 million heads, and although many Lord Shivas were also assembled, only the four-headed Brahma of this universe could see all of them. By the inconceivable potency of Krishna, the others could not see one another. Although all the Brahmas and Shivas were assembled together, due to Krishna's energy, they could not meet or talk among themselves individually. 221, 80-84. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Lord Krishna then bade farewell to all of the Brahmas there, and after offering their obeisances, they all returned to their respective homes. After observing all these opulences, the four-headed Brahma of this universe was astonished. He again came before the lotus feet of Krishna and offered him obeisances. Brahma then said, "Whatever I formerly decided about my knowledge, I have just now had personally verified. There are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think in that way. As far as I'm concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. Oh, my Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are all beyond the reach of my mind, body, and words." Footnote 11. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.38, spoken by Lord Brahma. Krishna said, "Your particular universe has a diameter of 4 billion miles. Therefore, it is the smallest of all the universes. Consequently, you have only 4 heads." Yeah, 4 billion miles, 4 heads.
Yeah.
So, 100 heads, 100 billion miles. So there's only 100 million heads. That means that's how many billions of miles it is. Very big. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of the greatest astrologers of his time, gives information from this Siddhanta Shiromani that this universe measures. Okay, 1 billion, trillion, 18 quadrillion. What? 18 quadrillion, 712 trillion, 69 billion, 200 million times 8 miles. This is the circumference of this universe. According to some, is only half of the circumference. Right? Because in other words, you're starting from the water and going up, but you have to count all the coverings.
Well, you can't need the covering. This is including the covering.
But yeah, because he said it's 4 billion. But here we had here 69 already. For 4 billion, it's just what's inside. Half of it's filled up with water. So only 2 billion is what is being used. It means the height will be 2, the width will be out. And then within that, then the lotus stem, within the lotus stem, all the planetary systems. So that's the thing. Even within that, it's so, and still we're seeing it so big. You know. And then the conversation keeps going down. And then, you know, sitting here in Mayapur, you know.
Being worried about the prasad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the reason we have in Vedic calculations, 100 quadrillion is the number after we count. Because this goes...
100 quadrillion, this goes to 18.
It's 144 or 150 quadrillion, this... into 8 miles. Huh?
Yeah.
So that's why numbering is up to...
Oh, up to quadrillions. After
100
that.
100 quadrillion.
100 quadrillion.
It's one parardha.
Parardha. Oh, okay.
So 1.5 parardha is the whole.
Yeah. Yeah. So then up to that is what within what you can use and calculate. So they don't bother about that. Means in the astronomy and stuff like that, they use these big numbers. That's a lot of the technical points of the Vedic math is all is for astronomical usage. Like there's I think 14 or 15 different ways you can do multiplication, you know, techniques. So those are depending upon which kind of calculation you're doing for which astrological thing. Then you'd use a particular one. So they have all those. The modern, then, they teach it kind of as a... If you're a math major, then from what I understand, there'll be a short course where they teach all these alternative concepts. So for them, they're just something interesting that you can do. But in the Vedic, that's actually what they would... Their system was based on that. You got that also?
We have British for the boys 4 or 5.
No, but I'm saying in the... Before? Because I remember Korma Prabhu was saying. There was a month they did.
We do for in high school, Maharaj.
Okay. Here it's in high school. In the West, it's only in university math majors.
You have to compete in competitive exams.
Competitive
without
exams.
Without rules and calculators, you have to calculate.
Yeah. So sometimes they teach, in the West, they teach on the side. I remember there was someone, he was from India, but I'm not sure if it was Harvard or where it was. And he's got his degree in economics and everything. He was very well known. He was saying they teach you all the stuff about, you know, the world economics and how it works and all that. When everything's finished, the last month, then they teach you Indian economics. And he says it doesn't work anything like the rest of the world. So that's why they just show you, there's some far out stuff here. Yeah. Okay. 221, 85 to 91. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, quoting Krishna, "Some of the universes are 1 billion yojanas in diameter. Some 1 trillion, some 10 trillion, and some 100 trillion yojanas. Thus, they're almost unlimited in area." According to the site, they'll still have 14 planetary systems, but just each planetary system will just be bigger and more to it. Like, we look up into the sky and you see unlimited stars and all that, and that's just here in this universe. So others will be, you know, they're bigger and they'll have, you know, the whole sky will still be full.
Does that mean that those planets are also bigger?
Not necessarily.
Bigger.
They might be bigger. They might be bigger. Because if it's only bigger, but, you know, the same kind of, it's not as much, why do you need more heads to manage it?
Right.
Because that's the thing, is as I mentioned before, each planet has its own atmosphere. So we're saying, oh, and only with this atmosphere there can be life. No, but there's some. You have 8,400,000 species. Some live on all kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, according to Mars Attacks, they live off of nitrogen. So,
I'm just wondering if in bigger universes, the Earth planet is about 100 times bigger than this one. You can imagine Kali Yuga.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the whole Bhumandala would be bigger. Everything would be bigger, but it's still the same. The blueprint's the same. It's just that everything's... So there'll be more varieties of little things and all that. You know, like here we have whatever it is. What is it? You know, some 200 countries or stuff and all the local languages and dialects there. There'll probably be more. So the idea is that you're getting all the variety. That's why then it's Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan. The jiva is moving... May you move from universe to universe, because if it's not the exact, you know, in other words, the house that you're supposed to live in is there, but it doesn't have that one window on the south side, they might move you to another universe where the house does have the window on the south side.
People who are complaining about overpopulation inside.
Yeah, you know, yeah, go there. According to the size of the universe, there are so many heads on the body of Brahma. In this way, I maintain innumerable universes, Brahmandas. No one can measure the length and breadth of the 1/4 of my energy manifested in the material world, because it's 1/4 of unlimited. Who then can measure the 3/4 that is manifested in the spiritual world? Beyond the river Viraja is the spiritual nature, which is indestructible, eternal, inexhaustible, and unlimited. It is the supreme abode consisting of the 3/4 of the Lord's opulences. It is known as Paravyoma, the spiritual sky. Footnote 12. This is a verse from the Padma Purana quoted here by Lord Krishna. Okay, then, and all the quotes. In this way, Lord Krishna, now Lord Chaitanya speaking. In this way, Lord Krishna bade farewell to the four-headed Brahma of this universe. We may thus understand that no one can calculate the extent of Krishna's energies. There's a very deep meaning in the word triadisha, triadishvara, which indicates that Krishna possesses three different lokas or natures. The three lokas are Gokula, Goloka, Mathura, and Dwarka. Krishna lives eternally in these three places. So this is the deep meaning, right? You have the confidential meaning, then you have the deep meaning, right? You know. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that in the Goloka planet, there are three divisions, Gokula, Mathura, and Dwarka. In his incarnation as Gaurasundara, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord conducts his pastimes in three areas, Navadvip, Jagannath Puri, and South India, and Brajamantla. Navadvip, Jagannath Puri, and South India, okay, they'll go together, and Brajamandal, the area of Vrindavan Dham. 221, 92 to 98. So Krishna is in Mathura, Dwarka, and that. So Lord Chaitanya is Navadvip, Jagannath Puri, and Braja. So he's still, you have the Triadishishwara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. These three places are full of internal potencies, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is their sole proprietor. As previously mentioned, the jewels on the helmets of all the predominating deities of all the universes and Vaikuntha planets touch the throne and lotus feet of Krishna when those deities all offered obeisances. When the gems on the helmets of all the predominating deities collided before the throne and the Lord's lotus feet, there was a jingling sound, which seemed like prayers offered by the helmets at Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna is thus situated eternally in his spiritual potency, and the opulence of that spiritual potency is called Shadaishvara, indicating six kinds of opulences. Because he possesses the spiritual potencies, which fulfill all his desires, Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the Vedic version. The unlimited potencies of Krishna are just like an ocean of nectar. Since one cannot bathe within the ocean, I have only touched a drop of it. Mm-hmm. Verses 99 to 149, Sri Krishna's unlimited sweetness. 221, 99 to 100. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing the opulences and spiritual potencies of Krishna in this way, there was an awakening of love of Krishna within him. His mind became immersed in the sweetness of conjugal love, and he quoted the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, to exhibit the strength of his own spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his pastimes in the material world. This form was wonderful even for him, and it was the supreme abode of the wealth of all good fortune. Its limbs were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of his body. Srila Prabhupada. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.12 is stated in the conversation between Vidura and Uddhava. Uddhava thus begins his description of the pastimes of Sri Krishna in his form exhibited by Yoga Maya. So he's describing how Krishna is, you know, controlling all the universes and then all the realms and then the aspects of Goloka and all that. And then that is awakening within him that the taste of the conjugal relationship. Right? And then he's quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is a verse that's quoted by conversation between Vidura and Uddhava in 11th canto. Lord Chaitanya, the verse you just quoted, to exhibit the strength of his own spiritual potency, that's from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.12, excuse me, yeah, 3.2.12, excuse me, not 11. Vidura and Uddhava. Yeah, so Does that make sense? The point we're making is that if it's about Krishna, it reminds you of Krishna, and if you have a rati for Krishna in a particular way, then it's only going to increase your attraction for Krishna within that rati. Yes. This idea is, no, it has to be external forms of conjugal rasa to attract in conjugal rasa. That doesn't work like that. Does that make sense? You may pick up a mood from people, but it's the mood, it's not the external form. That's the important aspect. Does that make sense? So that's why the sahaji is, you know, just as the impersonalists, they throw out things that we become bewildered by and think that they're actually factual ways of looking. Sahajis also throw out things that we think are factual ways of looking. You know, because that whole thing, you know, before, what's it, a few weeks ago, about the, you know, can we change, you know, spiritual bodies or this or that? What's being missed is that the body is produced from the particular rati. So what love you have for Krishna, that's the form that you manifest. So they're saying, you know, can we do this or that? It depends on your rati, whatever your rati is. You know what I'm saying? But they're thinking it's just you kind of line them up and, well, I don't know. And like, why can't we try that one over there? You know, like that. You know, it's like, you know, you have the little room in the back, you know, with the mirrors and like that, close the curtain, try it on, you know, check it out, see if you like it or not. You know, hang it over the door if you don't, try the next one on, you know.
The sari of fruit.
Yeah, you know, and then when you leave, you get one of those nice big bags, you know, with the handle on it, says on there, Sarup Siddhi, you know. Like that. You know? Like that.
You're shopping at Sarup Siddhi, wow.
Yeah, says, what did you get? So that's the whole thing, is that the missing, that it works the other way around. Is you have an attraction, a rati, that is that makes the form. Does that make sense? The thing is, so I just sit back without rati, I choose a form, and then I move into that form. No, it goes the other way around.
You come to the shop.
You
come to the
shop. Yes. Okay. 221-101-104. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Lord Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastimes as a human being are the best. His form as a human being is the supreme transcendental form. In this form, he is a cowherd boy. He carries a flute in his hand, and his youth is new. He is also an expert dancer. Right? So that's the aspect that we saw in the Lalita Madhava. Then to hide himself and go into the temple area where Rukmini was. Then Krishna disguised himself, he was with Garuda, as dancers. So he dressed like this, as a cowherd boy and all that, so no one would recognize him, because they're used to seeing his form as Dwarkadish, like that. All this is because he mentioned they became dancers, so here we see that's the... All this is just suitable for his pastimes as a human being. My dear Sanatana, the sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna is so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all the three worlds in the ocean of love. He attracts all living entities within the three worlds. Right? So that's why even somebody who's very new in Krishna conscious, if there's a little attraction for Krishna and devotional service, they can attract so many people. That's why they can be so successful at preaching. Because a fractional understanding can merge all three worlds in an ocean. Like that. He attracts all living entities within the three worlds. The transcendental form of Krishna is shown to the world by Lord Krishna's internal spiritual energy, which is a transformation of pure goodness. This jewel-like form is the most confidential treasure of the devotees. This form is manifested from Krishna's eternal pastimes. The wonderful form of Krishna in his personal features is so great that it attracts even Krishna to taste his own association. Indeed, Krishna becomes very eager to taste it. Total beauty, knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, renunciation are the six opulences of Krishna. He is eternally situated in all, in his opulences. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, the Gokul Leela, are supreme. He also has pastimes in the Vaikunthas, the spiritual world, as Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. In his pastimes in the spiritual sky, he lays down in the causal ocean as Karana Rakshai, the Purusha avatar. His incarnations as a fish, tortoise, and so on are called his causal incarnations. He incarnates in the modes of nature as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. He also incarnates as empowered living entities like Prithu and Vyas. The Supersoul is his localized incarnation, and his all-pervasive aspect is the impersonal Brahman. So mention, the Purusha avatar is lying down in the spiritual sky. He's in the transcendental abode because he's Hari. Mm-hmm. But everything that expands from him, and then the transformations and all that, and that's the material world. That makes sense? So, as we've mentioned before, what was it? It was a concept?
Concept.
Yeah. So then that's the whole point. It's a concept that we're in the material world. We're actually within Krishna's energies. So. When we consider impartially all the unlimited pastimes of the Lord, we find that his pastimes as a human being on this planet, wherein he sports as a cowherd boy with the flute in his hands, and appears youthful and fresh like a ballet dancer, are pastimes and features that are never subjected to material laws and inebrieties. The wonderful beauty of Krishna is present in the supreme planet, Gokula, Goloka Vrindavan. Inferior to that is his representation in the spiritual sky, and inferior to that is his representation in the external energy, Devadatta. A mere drop of Krishna's sweetness can drown these three worlds. Goloka Vrindavan, Haridam, Vaikuntha Loka, and Devadatta, the material world. Okay, so when it says the three worlds, it means these three. Just a drop. Everywhere, Krishna's beauty merges everyone in the ecstasy of transcendental bliss. Actually, the activities of Yoga Maya are absent in the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets. She simply works in the supreme planet, Goloka Vrindavan, and she works to manifest the activities of Krishna when he descends to the material universe to please his innumerable devotees within the material world. Thus, a replica of the Goloka Vrindavan planet and the pastimes there is manifested on this planet on a specific tract of land, Bauma Vrindavan, Vrindavan Dham on this planet. So Prabhupada said, it's part of there, not this is there, as I said. I guess if it's a matter of maybe whether you're seeing it as Tattva or Rasa. It's expanded here, or this is part of there. You were saying there were those two views.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Krishna comes with his abode.
Mm-hmm.
That is one view. And then the other view, the opposition says, no, he adopts to the material sphere. And according to this, or to whatever happens, right?
Oh, okay. Okay, that's a different thing. No, I was referring to before. You had mentioned how there's two views of the pure devotees. It's when they see that Goloka is extended to here, it means extended down to here, then that gives one particular level of realization. But we understand it's actually part of there. It gives another level of realization.
Yeah, that's right at the end of the commentary on the second verse of Brahma Samhita, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that that's the difference between Sarupsini and Vastusini.
Yes, because Vastu means then, it means it's there, so it's the same place. The other is extension, so then it has It's the same place, but there's still that slight difference.
Yeah, you view it from a different perspective.
Yes, that's all.
Only when you see that this is part of that, that's when the Aprakat Leela can manifest.
Then it's Aprakat Leela. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.